Hey everyone, welcome to an episode of Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for today's episode is Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hello, Leah.
Hi there.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
It's been a week. This is a Wednesday episode. We have a couple more days to get through to the end of the week.
It has been a week.
So, you know, I really like these review episodes because they are forcing us to kind of read people. I think that I am one of those people that'll be see a cover and be like, oh, I want to read that. That's on my TBR. Or I buy it when it's $1.99. And then I never really ever get back to it because there's always so many books. So I do feel like one of the good things coming out of these Wednesday episodes is forcing me to go and read some of these books that have I bought for $1.99 and never actually read.
Yeah. I agree, because I always, like, not always, because clearly I didn't when this one was $1.99, right. But 90% of the time I buy those books and then they just sit unread on my Kindle.
Yeah.
Right.
Jenny, did you buy this when Amanda shared it was $1.99?
Yeah, because I was like,
I was the only idiot who didn't.
Okay, if it makes you feel better, I definitely downloaded it from the library, clicked the button that's like read with Kindle, and it's like, you already have this book. And I'm like,
oh.
It does make me feel a little better.
I do already have this book.
I actually listen
because I have also done that before.
I've tried to buy books twice, so it is nice when it now tells you that you purchased
this book. Space? I feel like she's judging us.
No, right, I'm agreeing. I'm saying, oh yeah, I do that all the time. Like I just did it at the library, and it was like, oh, you already have this. I was like, oh,
lies. You didn't really.
not for this book, but it was a different book.
You know, anyway, so we on this episode are going to talk and review The Secret to a Southern Wedding by Cynthia Williams. Did I get it right?
Yes.
I think
yes.
I got it right. I re-listened to the like beginning of the audio. And then today Leah called me and she's like, do you have any clue how to say the audiobook narrator's name? And I'm like, nope, but I can listen in the beginning because they say it right in the beginning of the audiobook. So
I just listened right over that part of it. But
yeah,
okay. But then I phonetically spelled it out on their doc.
Yeah, I saw that because I was like, "Wow, that I."
It was a tough one. That.
It is a tough one. Anyway,
well, we did ask Cynthia personally how to pronounce her name.
We did. So. We did. Okay, so who wants to talk about all the things?
Leah, since she got the phonetic.
Yeah, like, nobody wants to touch the audiobook narrator. Okay.
I may still get it wrong, so I'm apologizing already. Okay, so it came out August 15th, 2023. The tropes are small town, return to hometowns, small town romance, family secrets, almost step-siblings, rivals to lovers, slow burn, emotional messiness. The series name is Peachtree Cove. It is a series of standalones, and it is in third person. The put-out percentage was 54%. In the audiobook,
okay, wait,
if you do
it's not actually 54%. Jenny figured it out.
But I looked in the screenshotted it.
But the last
hang on, the last 20% is the bonus story.
That's okay. Well, I lied then.
So what is it, Jenny?
About the bonus story,
it's 66%.
Okay. Well,
Jenny
let me fix
math.
That. So, I did forget about the bonus story.
Leah's like ready to go to fisticuffs.
Because yeah, I have to screenshot it. I always have to screenshot because I'll forget that shit.
She's like, I'm taking you down, Jenny.
Well, thanks for doing the math, Jenny.
The math is hard.
The audiobook, if you did it, it is Den Renee Ojo. And this book is available everywhere. It's in libraries, Hoopla, like my library, which has 2,500 romance books only, had it, which is shocking to me.
Yeah, it was published Canary Street. It's one of their first publications coming out of Canary Street back when they launched. This is Black Love. These are both of our main characters are people of color. And the author is a woman of color. So but that those are not tropes, but I just wanted to put those out there so that we had that. Okay, so let's talk about The Secret to a Southern Wedding. This is kicking off May, which we are doing all kind of
All the
brides,
weddings.
weddings, jilted brides. I don't know if we have really a theme other than weddings.
Weddings.
Just weddings.
Just weddings.
Yeah, because some are wedding guests, some are runaway brides, some are people coming home to try and break her mother and her new fiance up.
It, and the wedding doesn't even happen in this book, so.
It
No.
doesn't. Okay, let's just talk about first impressions, general impressions of this book. It was flippin' messy.
I loved it.
Leah's like, I'm really invested. I think I have to read book two. And I'm like, okay.
No, because book two is like there's two more books in like the series. It's both best friends. And then there's two novellas, which you don't really meet the characters, but you hear about things that happen with the characters. So like I really need those too.
I will say I struggled a little bit with the pacing of this book. It had
Same.
some slow moments. I did kind of Leah the book through the
I
audiobook.
know.
Sorry.
How do you Leah an audiobook?
You go up a couple
Skip ahead.
chapters, listen to it, and then you go back because you realize that you might have missed something.
I've
Anyway.
never done it in audio form.
Well,
I'm
now.
impressed.
Amanda, do you have some general first impressions of the book?
I liked the small town setup. Like I thought it was like a cute small town. And I liked the fact that she had a complicated history with the town. So I have, I can relate to that a little bit, like with my hometown. So I'm always like curious when characters have that same situation. And I thought it was believable. It was relatable. I liked Imani.
Yeah.
And I think she did it in a way that, like, because everybody seems to have that, and some people leave the town and come back, and some
Yeah.
people stay
Yeah.
there and then kind of reconcile with it
Yeah.
why they're still there. And I think that's pretty
Yeah.
true to form.
I do think the town kind of outshines the characters. I don't want to say that the characters were boring because, like, I really thought Amani was great, but it.
I think the issue is like Amani and what's his name?
Cyril.
Cyril. And the parents were like really toe to toe, who were like
Yeah,
the
I
main
agree.
characters of the book. Like Amani and Cyril were definitely like the main focus, but the parents had such a full story. Like it wasn't. I think that's why the town kind of felt more in this because it wasn't just one story. Like there were two couples as the story progressed and like the way they played out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you said, that like the parent story, like I felt like overshadowed it a little bit because we're talking about what happened to them, and then their kids are having the ripple effects.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think that this book is a little bit cozier, character
Yeah.
rich,
Yeah.
atmospheric versus heavy on the front end romance. Like
Yeah.
this book felt like a whole vibe versus just a romance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, if it had a little more, like it almost reads like a cozy mystery without the mystery,
Yeah.
is what I thought when I was reading it.
Well, and you get a little bit of that
Yeah.
because you don't exactly know what happened with his mom, and
Yeah.
yeah.
No, I can see that. And it kind of has that same vibe, a little bit of that pumpkin spice cafe series.
I didn't read that, so I don't
Oh, you
know
didn't read this.
anything
Okay. Well, it kind of had
about
that. It's the same kind of vibe. It's that cozy small
it
town kitschiness. There's some
either.
dynamicness in it, but overall the shine of the town outshines the characters and the love interests and the love story. It's that it feels more like women's fiction than it feels like romance.
Well, I was
Yeah.
struggling with the like town like rivalry across the river because I'm
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I'm like, are they in Adventure Bay from Paw Patrol?
I
Adventure
actually kept
Bay.
thinking like
Oh
Parks
my
and Rec, like Pawnee versus like the other town and how they like fight and but
Okay.
I think the problem was there was too much of both couples. Like, had we gotten Imani and Cyril's story as like the headliner with the parent story being the background story, because I don't mind a book when multiple like relationships are progressing or falling apart like as the book happens, but it there has to be one that outshines the other. And I think
Yeah.
that was where the issue was. Like I read, like I listened to this book. I really enjoyed the narrator. I thought she did an excellent job with the way the story played out. But I was really, I if I'm listening to a book I've never read before, I sometimes have a hard time multitasking, but I multitasked like a champ while I listened to this book. So it had that mac and cheese like feeling to it. Like it was I enjoyed the book. I liked the storytelling, but like I wasn't fully invested in what was going on in my ears, but I didn't miss anything at the same time.
Yeah. Okay, so plot overview. Imani returns home to Peachtree Cove when she finds out her mom, Linda, oh, Linda, is rushing into marriage with a man she barely knows. Linda raised Imani to be suspicious of men, so her concern is understandable. And the backstory of the dad and the mistress and the threatening to kill people, that was
Well, she shot
Yeah. And she
the mom.
that
Like,
was crazy.
that was bonkers. I kind of liked it.
Yeah.
It brought me some joy.
Well, and it really like, but that was like the whole like basis is like Imani left because like they were like the talk of the town because his father's mistress shot her because her father was a douche nugget.
I kind of felt like we were entering. Okay, so this felt a little bit like a funny episode of Dateline.
Yeah, yes, I would.
If we mixed Dateline with Passions, the daytime show, and took out
Oh,
witchcraft,
yes.
you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
It is
A little
very
bit.
soap opera-ish.
It did. It
Yeah.
felt
But
really.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. But like. Just FYI, I was trying to explain to somebody the other day. It was an author about passions on NBC. Jenny,
That
did
was
you
like
watch
one of the
that?
worst written soap
Yes.
operas like I'd ever
With
watched,
Tabitha and Timmy?
but I couldn't stop watching it either.
I ran out and bought Tabitha and Timmy's book when it came out because there was a
It's
companion novel to the
but it's
soap
one of those
opera.
like it's like an accident that you can't stop looking at
No, it
because
was
you don't know where it's gonna go.
so good.
It was so bad. It was good.
But this book we're not calling an accident, though.
No.
No, this is
No,
different.
this is different. I'm just saying that small town, like, there's a lot of characters in this town, and like, even Cyril and Imani's like meet cute where she sprays him down with mustard, like
That was funny.
that was really funny. And the
Also,
fact
her
that her mom was
obsession with
like, I
hot dogs or corn
they're
dogs.
corn
Corn dogs.
dogs.
Yeah.
Maybe she just really likes a corn dog.
I mean, does anybody really like a corn dog that much?
I mean,
Well,
I
I mean,
don't eat.
outside of children who will only eat many corn dogs. I mean,
I
I have one of
don't like corn
those.
dogs in general, so I'm not really a good person to ask that question to. But also, I thought it was funny when her mom was like, "Yeah, I knew you were going to get a corn dog first."
Right?
So
Stacy says she loves a corn dog.
love a corn dog, sure. We have Linda and Preston. They are the older couple. Linda is Imani's mom, and Preston is Cyril's dad. And Preston has a history shrouded in mystery. And again, this is where we kind of get that daytime television vibe. You
Yeah.
know,
In
did he
the
or
Dateline.
didn't
Yeah.
he? Anyway, the two of them c hope their children will be friends and get along, and they task them with planning the wedding together.
Because you know, that's always a good
I was kind of curious. I was like, are they, for a minute, I was like, are they actually like setting them up?
That's yes,
Because,
I agree.
yeah. Well, because the way they reacted when they found out, they're like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like it was matchmaking for sure, particularly as we get farther into the book and the parents tend to be kind of falling away, you know, like,
well, cause at not one as point, rushed like into their marriage. They were supposed to go do something and the parents were coming, but then they're like, oh, we're not coming. You just go
they
have fun.
They did that multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like anytime they had to go and do something, it was like, you guys can handle this. So it's like they were planning their own wedding, but for their parents.
Yeah. I would have been like, nope.
As they butted heads like the whole time.
Yeah.
What did I think that might have given me like a little more, like if they'd have pushed that a little more rather than the two mysterious pasts, like I think I might have like, it might have like pushed them into the forefront a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what did we think about Cyril as a character? Did we like him? Did he feel
like we didn't get to know him very well?
He felt like a plot point that was in an effort to help us get to know Amani and her relationship within the town.
Yeah.
Like, you wore a lot of fedoras.
I know that. Like that's the thing that I remember most about him. I was like, oh man, I don't see people wear fedoras anymore. And that is like the forefront thought that I have about him in my brain, honestly. So
wasn't there a trend well? Like 10 years ago where the fedora kind of made a little bit of a
possibly. I don't know.
Look it up.
It could be anyway. I do think one of the things that I find most endearing about Cyril is his desire for his dad to be happy. He really is willing. I mean, what a good son, right? He's willing to do whatever he can to help his dad find joy again and to be happy. And I thought,
I think that was really great. He just, you know, like you said, he just kind of like fell to the wayside a little bit, like more of a plot device around Amani. But I mean, what we do get of him, I liked.
So one of the things that I feel like we have to talk about in this book is the secrets. And it's deception. It's deception trope. It's secret keeping. And it can make or break a story. I don't know that it broke this story, but there were times where I was just like, can we just tell everybody everything already?
I think it was the way in which the emphasis was on it. It's like, I need to talk about it, but I'm not going to because she's going to look at me differently. Like there was a lot of repetitiveness when it came to the secret stuff. And I think that was the issue with it. Like, if it hadn't been just kind of hammered in, like, I need to talk about it, but I don't want to talk about it type of thing. And then when she, like, told him hers, but he didn't share, and he was like, but he was making his dad share, but he wasn't sharing. So that's where my issue with it came. Like, I understand why the author made those choices, but I felt it was a little too redundant.
Well, don't you feel that some of his comes off as like emotional betrayal?
Like the dad or
both when they don't tell, you know?
Because even like when the mom finds out, like you find out that she, like she has known the whole time. And like her big thing for calling off the wedding was because he didn't trust her with his truths. So it's like, he and like she knew like when she found out like he was never going to tell her, and so that was like the big thing.
I just feel what were your thoughts, Amanda, on the secrecy and kind of that emotional betrayal? Because those are kind of hot buttons for you.
Yeah, I think the only reason that this didn't bother me as much is because they weren't actually Amani and Cyril's secrets. You know what I mean? Like, I can see the point that he didn't tell because he thought that wasn't his story to tell. Like, it's his dad's story, and, you know, it was redundant, and it was kind of, like, a big issue. But, like, I think that's the only reason it didn't send me, like, off the rails, was because it wasn't really their kind of deception.
I often felt that all four of them, all over the age of 35 at times, come off a little bit immature.
At times, yeah.
And I was just like, okay, you're grown ass people. Why are
He's
we acting
a doctor.
Like this? Right. Well, that means nothing, Jenny. You've met doctors.
Yes.
But you would think that it would mean something.
You would think. I actually have a note here. Cyril's constant fedora wearing is unintentionally comical and hard to take serious. I mean, I should have worn a fedora. Damn, missed opportunity here.
It was.
Well, it's because there was a resurgence in the early 2000s. In the hipster scene.
Is that what it was?
I know nothing about
this period has been referred to as a fedora renaissance.
Oh. We had a fedora renaissance?
Clearly.
We missed.
Okay. Okay, so I do feel like one of the things that worked really well in this book was the representation and the inclusion that was through it was really strong throughout the story.
Yes.
You know, I really felt like we were understanding the characters. It's Georgia, so we're understanding small town Georgia, and the way the town functions and the, you know, church on Sunday, those kinds of things. I felt like we really got a good insight to what, you know, it would be like to grow up in that town, to live in that town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like this scene at the, like, meat market, because like they're not really sure when what was the character's name that was pregnant.
Aiden.
Yeah, comes in and definitely preeclampsia, like, and they're not really sure how the like butcher guy is gonna handle it, and he's like totally cool with it, and I feel like that's very small town, like sometimes the people like think are going to be bigots are actually people.
Also note, this is full of entertaining drama that kept me turning the page. Really, it was the drama.
It was very it's a mess. Like, there's so much mess, and like honestly, in like this small town, like, you think like, so Hallie's parents, like, she doesn't have parents because they were killed. And then the dad had the mistress who shot the mom. And I mean, Cyril and his dad were in Boston, but it kind of follows Baltimore. Them because, was it Baltimore? That was
Baltimore. Baltimore.
It starts with a B. It's north.
But we know that Baltimore is not near Boston, right? We know
I
that.
I know that Baltimore is not near Boston. Yes, I know these things. It's been a really long week. Like, I'm lucky I know this much. But it's just, but their past also follows them, and then we get that messiness, like, that ties into like everybody else's messiness. So it's just, I really enjoyed the messiness of this book a lot.
Yeah. Linda, I was reading it, and my first thought is she's kind of naive, right? Like, easy to trust. But then I started thinking about my mother, and I'm like, no, she's on par. Got it.
Yeah. And then we find out she's not really. I mean, she really knows what's going on. I think she just, the call from her ex-husband and finding out that he's getting married kind of sent her into a little bit of a tailspin, which we don't get. You know, her daughter thinks that's what's happening, but Linda isn't like letting on that that's what's happening. You don't find out until the end that, you know, she already knows all about Preston's past and that she is kind of, you know, upset about the whole marriage thing.
Yeah. And I think there is some recognition on her part, like after she met Preston, that like the way that she dealt with what happened and like how she reacted to males in general, like after the fact, like was not necessarily the right thing to do. And so like she has recognized like that she does not want to be alone. Like she wants somebody to like love her and show her that care. And Preston like clearly cares about her just in the way that he takes care of her. Like he's always cooking for her and doing things for her. And like, it's all these little things. And so I think that's part of it too, is like, she had such a staunch opinion after the mistress shooting that she recognizes that she did Imani a huge disservice growing up.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want her to live her life the same way.
I do have to say, I feel like the cake shop owner got more time on page than others. Like, we got a lot of the cake shop owner. I mean, I love cake.
Yeah, I wonder if she's going to get a book.
I don't know.
Or if there's, if maybe that's one of the novellas. I don't know.
No,
Is
the
it
cake
no?
shop owner, what was her name?
I don't
Kath?
remember.
Or
I just
no,
Kath? Is
she
it? Oh, I
doesn't.
thought
So,
Kathy Chandler.
Devante and Joanne, the beauty salon lady, they get a book or a novella because they were found doing stuff at her opening, which we
I
find out
read
in
that.
this
It's at the end
book.
of this book. I read it. It's,
Yes.
yeah, it's, so I read that. Yeah.
And then the other one is Andre, who is one of, and Tamara.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember Andre Kemp, whoever he belongs to.
I don't know.
He
I'll have to go
belongs
back.
to somebody.
Okay.
Maybe it's Tracy's brother.
No, Tracy's brother is Devante.
Okay. I don't, he belongs to somebody that we met. Here, let me see if I can find it.
Maybe
It's
Hallie.
maybe Hallie.
I don't think she had a brother, though. I think it was just her.
So did we have thoughts on Preston on the dad? Did
I
mean
liked his character. I thought that he, aside from the fact that he held back so much, I did enjoy his character. I thought that he was very similar from like throughout the book, like there wasn't like a character change that you sometimes see. Like he genuinely cared about her and showed that care.
Yeah.
I just wanted him to be open.
I think that was it. I didn't want the mystery shrouded, the reserved secretness. I
Yeah.
respect that he was trying to start over. But the secrecy for me was, I just struggled with him. I wanted to shake
Well,
him.
especially when everybody's like, basically, we just Googled that shit and like, we already know.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like the whole town knew, but he didn't know that they knew. But it's like, really? Like people aren't looking things up in this day and age?
So when I wrote my notes, I must have been really obsessed with the fedora. It's mentioned like three
How many times
different
did you
times.
write it?
I think, let's see here. Cyril's constant fedora wearing is unintentionally comical. Let's see here. Linda and Preston, Cyril's dad, Cyril who wears too many fedoras. Okay, wait. In the little character guide I created myself, Cyril, Preston's son, romantic love interest, mysterious fedora wearing, emotionally driven, loyal to his father, always wears a fedora.
That's a lot of mentions. Oh, I, you know what? Let's do something. Hold
Are
that
you going to
thought.
count how many times Fedora
But
is
yeah, I mean,
mentioned?
it's mentioned a lot because that's the first thing I think of when you say his name. So
Now it's in the bonus story included, but hold on, because my Kindle app takes a second.
I just, yeah, like,
I don't think it's in the bonus story. So however many come
Ten
up is,
times the
yeah.
word fedora was mentioned 10 times.
Oh, it seemed like so much
But he
more.
has a caramel colored one, a black one, a tan one,
A
a
green
green
one.
one, a brown one. So multiple colors. He has the rainbow of
Romantic
fedoras.
arc, I wrote, falls for Cyril, her soon-to-be stepbrother, despite major complications in his fedora wearing. Sorry.
I mean, apparently he looks good on it with a
You're not wrong.
fedora.
No.
Some people can really pull that fedora off.
Apparently, I had big thoughts about the fedora.
If you want a new drinking game, how many times can we say fedora in a night?
Maybe that should be on the bingo card. I now I'm gonna start paying attention to headwear for heroes and books. See how much headwear we can collect in our romances over the next.
I don't
I
feel like
don't
it's
think.
much.
No,
It's a
I mean, I
baseball
feel like
cap or
it's the
yeah.
baseball cap, and that's about
I need
it,
a
or a
top
sports
hat wearing
helmet.
hero. Can't we get a top hat wearing hero?
You're
Like
reading the wrong
where
kinds
is
of
yeah,
books.
like where is he wearing
He could
the
just
top
be
hat
quirky and
too?
wear a top
He could
hat.
be the top hat.
There you go.
You would read that.
I
that
would.
probably exists.
Fear of Valentine, are you listening?
Makes me think of like the magician and the bunny.
Yeah.
Anyway. Male objects. I don't know.
Well, there's cowboy hats too, but I don't feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Amanda's like, what is wrong with you guys?
She's used to us by now. She doesn't even blink at it anymore.
She made I don't her feel face like there's speaks an, as volumes much, at our chaos.
As much emphasis.
My face expressions may have nothing to do with what you're saying. Like, they're just random.
Okay. Yeah. She listens and she judges.
She does judge. And it's fine.
That's fair.
I mean, somebody should judge us because
We judge ourselves. We don't need other people to do it.
My brain will go off in like three different tangents while we're having this conversation. So literally, it may have nothing to do with what you're talking about.
it's Amanda's weird working her own way.
Is there anything else in this book you think we should talk about before?
I did like the Doctor of the Year and like him telling her like, hey, yes, you got Doctor of the Year, like use it.
Like you deserve it, but own that.
She acted like it was such a heavy burden and it came with all these complications, but it gave her platform to talk about some really important things.
Well, but what I like too is like it really emphasized like, because when she's in the board meeting, like when she goes back to Florida and she's trying to talk to them, they basically were like, ignored anything that she said because she is a showpiece, essentially.
Yeah.
And so that's when she's like, I can do more and I can be better.
I did like that Cyril was not intimidated by her success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
You know, yeah. Oftentimes we get a romance and there will be kind of a moment of jealousy, especially if the heroine seems to be at the peak performance. It oftentimes will be used as a plot point in the story to cause jealousy or to cause issues because of her success or her popularity. And that did not happen in this, which again, I think is because they're older, more mature characters.
Most.
Yeah, and he's like confident in where he's at in life. Like opening this bar was something that he wanted to do for a long time, and it's like he's content, he's happy, he's, you know, he's successful in his own right. So I don't think he doesn't feel threatened by her. No.
Well, if you're gonna wear fedoras like that, you got to be pretty confident. Exactly. I mean,
okay.
Well, but I like when he talks about like why he opened the bar and why he named the bar what he did. Like, there's a lot of like meaning behind it, and it's very like. It wasn't just a whim for him.
What were you going to say, Jenny?
So, being mature, I listened to the audio, like, for most of it, because I needed to finish it before tonight. And I'm making dinner, and, like, after they come back for who has the accident that falls down the stairs?
Oh, Hallie. Like,
Hallie.
She fell down the stairs at school.
Yes. So they come back. And then his dad's missing, and they walk into her mom's house. And I'm like, you're an adult. Like, you know, like, but you just open the door. And so, like, yeah, I was definitely like talking out loud. My kids are like,
honestly, you deserve to walk in on that. If
I'm just like, I'm like, you don't open. Oh,
okay, but okay. I got to be real, real with you guys here, okay? This was like early on in Mike and I's relationship. He was in Findlay for a weekend. My parents said, hey, let's take you out to dinner. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. They said, we're going to go upstairs. We're going to change clothes.
Wait, this is the first time Mike met them, right?
I don't think it was the first time he met them, but it was.
I feel like when you told me the story originally, it was
might
one
have
of
been.
The first times.
It was one of the first times. It was early on in our relationship.
I like this story.
My parents come back downstairs. They did not change their clothes, but we heard things. And like, we were not young. I mean, we were 22, 23, 24. Like, we were not, like, we were adults. And they acted like they didn't think we knew what they had done upstairs. But we knew. So I think that walking in on your parents, sometimes it just happens.
But you didn't walk in on them. They left
I
the
didn't.
room.
They left the room, but we were sitting in the living room, which was directly under their
That
bedroom.
was just
Yeah,
poor
they, that's
planning on
like,
their part.
yeah.
They are the ones to blame,
Wait till we
Heather,
turn the
not
movie on at
you.
least, right?
Yes, exactly. Like,
I
yeah.
think you can say only that maybe because they were in a panic looking for him kind of
Yeah.
situation, like that might be the
Yes.
only reason they would barge in. Otherwise, yeah, you should probably not barge into a
You always
bedroom
knock
with a
on
closed
bedroom
door.
doors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she knocked, but she didn't wait for an
Wait.
answer.
Yeah. But
I mean.
I'm just saying sometimes you knock and you're just so used to knocking and opening because you don't really think about it. And then things happen and you're just like, fuck.
Well, and they're supposed to be broken up too, so you're
Right? This
not
is
like
also true.
Right.
processing that they're gonna be in the bedroom together.
I think that was one of the first things I told Jenny as her boys get older. Knock. Knock a lot. Knock loudly.
Yes. Yep.
Anyway.
I definitely make sure to do that.
Anything else? And one more time, Amanda's like, yes, no kids. Anything else that we want to talk about? I mean, also, but
Think
good for the
covered
parents for getting some. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it. I yeah.
True.
Right?
So, Leah, you've looked at the other books. To the like landscaper dude and
Tracy.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Okay.
Geoffrey.
They're it's what is it? Frenemies with benefits.
Yeah.
Because her husband is shtupping that chick who took that vacation
Yeah,
at the
that's what I
business
figured.
partner. And
Yeah.
so her Tracy, I haven't read it, but I got all this from the blurb, so I'm not spoiling
Yeah.
anything.
Right. Well, because I was like, yeah, your like cousin needs help with his girlfriend.
Yeah, so
Okay.
he's having an affair, and so they're getting a divorce, and so she starts doing that Brian dude that like they're like they butt heads. And then the book two is Hallie and Quentin, the football coach, who ends up being Shania's hu or father.
Yeah.
Also from the
Sue's.
blurb, so not
Yes, also from
spoiling,
yeah.
but she used a sperm donor because she wanted a
Oh.
family. And then Shania does, like, when she asked about that
DNA.
DNA test, I think
Yeah.
that she went ahead and did like that stuff. I haven't dove
Oh,
into
and
it
it
yet,
like matched
but I
at
think
the
it
school.
matched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soap opera. These are the days of our lives. But
Right?
like, but you, so we finished this one and then I read the blurbs for the next ones. So I was like, oh, I gotta listen to these. And so I did download them. They are on my phone.
Sue says that she read, she's on Tracy's book. She likes the series. The first one so far is the one she liked best, this one. And the one about Haley is crazy.
Yeah, that one interests me the most.
Okay.
Like,
That's right up my alley.
messy. You
but I
do
like
like a
it's
messy.
secret baby. Like, it's kind of secret babies,
Kind of
kind of.
secret. She's secret wide receiver.
Yeah.
Secret wide
Well, because
receiver.
she's on the football team.
Yeah.
He's her coach. And she's like, you're my dad. And then he's like
That's
all in,
unlikely.
apparently, according to the blurb. I just would like to know how it plays out.
Okay, but that's the sperm kind donor kind of story that I want,
Yes.
not
Well,
the
you should read
garbage that we
it.
read.
Well, we don't need that. We don't need to talk about that. Also, thinking of that, a truck like wrecked in Cranberry and vats of ranch dressing were on the road and it made it very slippy.
God, don't tell. I was gonna say, don't tell Lindsay, she'll
No,
vomit.
because I honestly like I didn't tell anybody until now because I felt like I had to share this on the YouTube.
Retching, crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She would be
But like, no
upset.
joke, in like the Facebook post for the community, bats of ranch were on the road.
Oh my God, that's too much. Too
But
much.
then my neighbor was like, I used to live right on that corner. She's like, I could see that like from my bedroom window.
The smell, like that much ranch, and
Yeah,
that's like a
especially if it
it's
gets
like a
hot.
25-minute drive.
And
Too
the
far for me. I
dairy,
don't have to go near
oof.
that. But it was made the road very slippy.
You're
I
slipping.
bet.
Well, yeah.
Apparently, ranch on the road is treacherous.
Wow, that's fair. Okay, anything else about this book, ranch dressing, or anything else we should know before we go to the next thing? Okay, so we're gonna do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up. I'll definitely read her again. I mean, it's a different kind of book. It's fun, but yeah, thumbs up.
Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways.
Thumbs up. I have book two ready to go when I get time. I'm invested in what's happening with these side characters. So yeah.
I
Okay. know, right?
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs
I
sideways.
mean, we all know I'm a thumbs up. Like I like a messy book. I like messy characters. The book was it was an easy listen, and I liked the writing of her like story.
I do like her writing. Again, I thought there were some pacing problems, but overall, again, this had such soap opera passion vibes for me that I was in. Like, I was invested. I'm there for it. I actually would love to inspire an author to kind of write some passions inspired romances, like the messy town that's a little kooky, because this hits it.
It does.
I do want to read Haley's book because, again, the father is the football player. Like, come on, hello? Like, that's gonna be messy.
I know, I'm excited.
Yeah, I want to know when he donated the sperm. Like, how,
Right?
at what
Like,
point
I
in
mean,
your football career was this college? Did you do it to like, make money? Like, I need to know why.
I mean, they're not super old in like this book. They're in their 30s and like she's like 14, I
15, I
think.
she's 13 in this book,
Yeah.
so yeah.
Yeah. I think I really, this made me nostalgic for daytime soap operas. And I used to watch them. I used to watch Young and the Restless. I watched Santa Barbara. I watched Days of Our Lives because I actually
Those are the
was
days
sharing
of our lives.
the same author that I was trying to tell about passions. I was also trying to tell them about when Marlena got
Possessed.
possessed.
Oh my gosh, yes.
The months and then Father John Black that ends up being her love interest. Like, don't you think that that's some potential inspiration, especially in this new horror rom-com genre?
Yeah.
So I'm like, passions, Marlena's possession. Also, how many times did Stefano D'Amara come back from the dead?
Right.
Yeah, I think he's still coming back from the dead.
I'm pretty sure the actor is dead, dead.
Yeah,
Like,
I'm
that does
like,
not
I'm
mean
pretty
anything
sure
in the soap world.
the
I don't know. I mean, they do recast quite a bit.
Yeah, and they just like say it on like now that like the character of blah 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 is played by blah blah blah.
I used to watch Young and the Restless, and I was obsessed with the girl that her nickname was Cricket. Her real name was Christine,
Oh
but they
yeah.
called her Cricket. And I always thought, oh, that would be such a fun name for a child. And then as a parent, I thought, no, my child would get made fun of.
I actually know her real name. I watched that show so much. Her name's Laura Lee Bell.
Well, and her father is actually the creator of The Young and the
Yes,
Restless.
he
oh, really?
is.
Yeah,
That's
ask me all the
interesting.
things. Victor Newman, who named
I
his
was a Young
children
and the Restless
Victor and
fan.
Victoria
I
and
was a
Nicholas.
Days. I watched Another World, As the World
I
Turns.
used to love Another World.
Another World was a really good one.
Did As the World Turns, and then I was big General Hospital after a while.
So I would
Yeah.
start
And
on
Jenny's like, these were
NBC.
not on my re conservative parents approve list.
No, they were
Well, because
not. Yeah.
a lot of times it depends on what channel you watch, but I would start on NBC with Days because it was at 1 o'clock, and then I'd switch to CBS at 2 with As the World Turns, and then go to ABC with General Hospital.
Yep.
See, and I would start at 12:30 with Young and the Restless, and then you would switch between Days and Young and the Restless during the commercial breaks at
Well,
one
because,
o'clock.
yeah.
And then Another World was at 2, and then it was replaced by Passions. And
Well,
what?
because I started watching As the World Turns when Another World went off the air.
Yeah, same.
Another World, they had the best, one of the best twin swaps storylines, like where the sisters played each other, like married the wrong guys and everything. Like, anyway, Stacy's like, I haven't heard of most of these. Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, I was like, man, I missed a whole chunk of like growing up, I guess.
If I could recommend one daytime soap show for a romance watcher or romance reader to watch, especially if you like the kooky and the messy, Passions.
I didn't get into Passions. Like, I think I was already like over watching them at that point, but like I started really young because I had one grandmother who was Young and the Restless and one grandmother who was Days of Our Lives, so it
Yeah.
depended on whose house I was at, you know.
Well,
But
it all
yeah, it
started with
was
the prices, right? It all
yes, we
started.
did.
Well, Passions, I feel like I had littles, I think.
I probably.
And actually quite a few stars came. Oh, 1999. No, I was just married. And its final episode was in 2008. And it had some big stars. Janet
It did,
Mills,
yeah.
who is the sister of the girl that plays the original twins in The Parent Trap, Hayley Mills. So
Oh, yeah.
the woman that played Tabitha. Anyway, I think that this is still on YouTube. I think you can
I'm
watch.
sure it is. Well,
Anyway.
it's probably on one of the streaming services because
I don't
you
know.
can watch like old episodes, like stream old
I don't know.
episodes.
Passions was great. Tabitha and Timmy. Because Tabitha was a witch and Timmy was a doll,
But
ventriloquist,
he wasn't
that come to
actually a doll.
life. And Jenny's like, and I'm out.
Yep. It got real weird there for a while.
So if people liked this book, what book should they read? Whoa. Anyway.
Wait, what? Okay.
Apparently, they should check out.
Passions. Do you have any books, Jenny?
Man.
Jenny forgot about
Not
this
this. Yeah,
segment.
I never come with Rex. Never.
Okay. Leah, do you have Rex for this
I
episode?
do. I have three tonight. And I just did series because really like the books all kind of fit. They're not as messy as this one, but they have like the kind of damaged dynamics. But the Wilder series by Carrie Ann Ryan. And then I have the Davenport series by Kim Law. It actually follows a family with like the dad as a politician and like the trickle down of like chaos that comes from that. And then I have the Vega family series by Natalie Kenya.
Oh, those are all good ones. Amanda,
Yeah.
do you have any?
I mean, I feel like I've been wrecking this series all the time, but if you want soap opera vibes, the Rivers Wild series by Dylan Allen is definitely like
That
soap opera vibes.
series.
Like it falls right in this
So
kind of,
messy. Yeah.
it's very messy. And there's a little more steamy time in that as well. And then I think the only other one, I was trying to find, I felt like there was a Brenda Jackson book,
All of the
like
Westmorelands.
all of the Westmorelands, but I felt like she had one specifically that was more like two kind of couples. I don't know if it was a mom and a dad, but I couldn't find it. But I would say like any Brenda Jackson book.
I will say, as much as you loved that Dylan Allen series, slide into her DMs and tell her that you loved them.
I tell her on Threads.
Good, good.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
Because
good, because
she
she.
responded. Yeah.
Good. Because she's like, I just didn't know people would really like that book. And I'm like, sister, we're like months later still talking about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have Bluegrass Empire by Sawyer Bennett, Messy Family, Messy Small Town, lots of drama. The Relationship Mechanic by Carmen Lee, that's sapphic, but you get kind of the small town messiness. That's actually book two in that series. The Boston Billionaires by Jay Sommen, again, messy family saga. Royals by Erin Nicholas, her Royal series. Before I Let Go by Kennedy Ryan. Talk about complicated relationships and
Kingmaker series would work for this too.
probably, yeah, I agree. Bittersweet by Serena Bowen. I feel like that book too has that kind of small town, complicated family. Carrie Elks, either her Salingers or her new series, The Fitzgeralds. These Fitzgeralds are so messy. So messy. But in a cute, fun, rom-com kind of way that is Carrie Elks. Montgomery's by Jude Devereaux definitely have this vibe. I even would say Julie Garwood's the Renard Buchanan family. Those family sagas. I really think that that's what this is.
It is.
And this one is more found family saga, but it's this messy, life is real, life is complicated, nothing is easy and straightforward. And I think that's what was so engaging about this book.
Well, they're very real.
Yeah. Okay, so we are getting things ready for summer reading. We'll start on May 25th. Make sure you are signed up for our newsletter and join our Discord so that you can be in the know for all of that. We'll be back on Sunday bringing you more great books to fill up your TBR. On Sunday, we will be celebrating moms with all of our favorite moms of romance. Maybe it'll be a grandma, maybe it'll be a mom, maybe it'll be a single mom. I don't know yet. Something about moms. Leah's looking at me like, I didn't know that's what we're talking about. I don't know either. But it's moms. It's Mother's Day.
It's fair. I did not know.
Jenny, are you on that episode with us on Sunday? Oh, yep. Good. All of us. Nobody's written any notes. It's fine. We don't have an episode. Nope. We are back here next Wednesday night with our community vote for the month. We are reviewing The Wedding Date Disaster by Avery Flynn. I'm excited to reread that to see if I love it as much as I did the first time I read it. Because there was some chaos in that book. So, and a grandpa that was quite the character. If you love this episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Share it with your friends. Your support helps us bring you more exciting content each and every week. Everyone, thank you for reading A Secret to a Southern Wedding and joining us for this episode. Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.